Continuing on with our series in Student of Qom's Muharram 2022 Majalis in English, we continue tonight with our third esteemed speaker. It is our honor to invite Sheikh Ali Qummi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, who will be speaking to us about the relevance of Imam Hussein's movement in the 21st century. Let's invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله لا سيما بقية الله ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أعداء الله من يومنا هذا إلى لقاء الله أما بعد فقد قال الله كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تعمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات You are the best ummah produced as an example for mankind. You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. This is chapter Ali Imran, verse number 110. Now, most of you are Hoza students. If you notice the verse, it starts with kuntum. Kuntum is a, as we all know, is a past tense. And how did we translate it? We translated it as, you are the best ummah, right? So how can we translate a past tense to a present tense? Allama Tabatabai here, just like many other mufassirin of Holy Quran, he has mentioned in Tafsir al-Mizan that this kuntum in this context, in this verse, is not confined to the past. It is not time-bound. It is not constrained by the time. Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi in Tafsir al-Namuna, he has mentioned that the past tense that is used here is for ta'keed, emphasis, right? But the consensus, the overwhelming consensus is that this verse needs to be translated in present tense, despite the fact that the sigha that is used is of the past tense. Now, we need to, Allama Tabatabai mentions another point for the Hoza students who have studied Mantiq already. He talked about this Amr bil Ma'ruf being mentioned before Iman in Allah, right? He said that here in this verse, Amr bil Ma'ruf being mentioned before Iman in Allah is Kul Ba'daz Juz. For those of you who have studied Mantiq, I won't get into the details. You know what he's talking about. So, you know, this verse is something that we're going to use today, later on, and reference back to it. So keep in your mind. I will recite the translation once more so it sticks in your mind. Allah says, you are the best ummah produced as an example. For who? For the mankind, not just for Muslims, for the mankind. And then Allah says, what is the reason? Because you enjoin what is good and you forbid what is evil. It's not absolute. You are the best ummah only if you are performing amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. So this is the verse that we're going to use later on. Please keep this in mind. And, you know, keeping this verse in mind, we're going to try to explain the relevance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam's movement in the 21st century. And in order for us to be able to do that, we're going to try to answer or address four fundamental questions, to see whether the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whether what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did is relevant in today's time and age or not. So the first question is, again, a little bit of your attention. The first question is, what was the goal behind the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Why did he do the uprising? What was his motive? Number two, was Karbala just a historic incident or it is a movement? This is the second question we're going to address. Number three, what is the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam itself? Let's say that we reach the conclusion that it's a movement instead of just the incident, then what is it? And number four is, in the 21st century, what are the demands of this movement? So if you help with me with a loud salawat, we will proceed. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The first question, what was the goal? What was the motive? What drove Imam Hussein alayhi salam? See, we get together, do the mourning of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why? Because we have the incident of Karbala in our minds. We know Imam Hussein alayhi salam went there, and the tribulations he went through, the troubles he went through, the pains he went through. We mourn that. What compelled Imam Hussein alayhi salam to go to Karbala in the first place? Why would he leave Hajj, which is a ibadah of Allah, one of the greatest ibadah? Why would he leave Hajj and start moving towards Kufa? What was the motive of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? So, you know, one of the best ways of finding why something was done by any individual, the best way is to go to the person himself and ask. You know, instead of trying to come up with our own rationale, our own logic, our own guesswork, go to the person himself, somebody who has performed the action. Ask him, why in the world did you carry out this action? So let's turn towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam and seek help from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in enabling us to understand the rationale, the logic, the motive, the spirit of his movement. Recite a salawat and I will recite what Imam Hussein alayhi salam has to say. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Innama kharajtu li talab al-islahi fi ummati jaddi." Why have I done the uprising? It is for the reformation in the ummah of my jad, in the ummah of my grandfather, in the ummah of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you notice, Imam Hussein alayhi salam here has not said that I'm going to reform the taghut of the time. He said, I've rose up to reform the ummah of my grandfather. You know, sometimes we get caught up in this whole akhlaqi model and akhlaqi mode where we feel that, oh, we're going to be close to the tawaghit. We're going to befriend the tawaghit, the taghuts, the aggressors, the oppressors. We're going to have a relationship with them so we can transform them. This is a misconception that many have in the world today, especially in the Western countries. Now, this is a non-divine approach, as we see the approach of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. They did reform, they did the transformation, but transformation of who? Not the Yazids of the time, not the Fir'auns of the time, but the Ummah itself, the people themselves. So this is a lesson that we learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that our uprisings, our iqdamat, they are for the reformation of the ummah. And what do we do with the taghut? Well, washtanibut taghut, Quran has already told us. Be at a distance, avoid them. Have enmity towards them. Remember this formula, brothers and sisters, when the wali of the time or his deputy qualifies or labels someone to be taghut, there is no room for any leniency, any flexibility, any relationship building with that taghut anymore. The ummah doesn't have the right. Nobody, no faqih, no marja, no hujjatul Islam, no alim, no follower, no noha reciter. Nobody has the right to do that. When the wali labels someone, an entity or a person, to be the taghut of the time, all you are expected to do at that point is to fight that taghut. You cannot go around and try to reinvent the wheel. That's not your job. So if this point got across clearly, please recite a salawat. Ya Ali. Now we ask Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself again, how do you plan to do this? This Amr bil Maruf, this whole Islah of the Ummah, how do you want to and how do you wish to do it? Imam alayhi salam, he continues, he says, Uridu an amura bil ma'ruf wa anha anil munkar. That I wish, I desire, I plan to carry out this reformation of my Ummah through what? A principle, an established principle of Islam, and that is Amru Nahi, enjoining good and forbidding evil. Through this process, I'm going to reform the Ummah. This is what we were informed by who? Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. Right? Now, you know, something that we see in the West today, and that's creeping into even the Eastern side of the world, and more so in, we're concerned about the Muslim societies, that, look, I have privacy. I have my own rights. Nobody's allowed to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar to me. This whole individualistic lifestyle that is being promoted by the West, in that there is no room for Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. That model that the West has presented is actually completely contrary to the Islamic model. So this is a misconception. If it's creeping into our circles, we need to address it. No, when it comes to the halal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the established principles of Islam, there are no privacy rights. You have to address it if it is being done in public. You know, if the person has the audacity to come in public and speak from the pulpit or otherwise against the established principles of Islam, against the established principles of fuqaha, against the established principles of waliul faqih, he needs to be rectified. This is the job of the Muslim ummah, and it is the job of each single one of us. You are entitled to your opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion. Says who? Your opinion versus the opinion of waliul faqih? Who are you? What are your credentials? What divine right do you have to challenge anything that the waliul faqih says? And for the same argument, what the faqih, what the marja says? You're no one. No, you're not entitled to your opinion. You need to stay within your limits. And this is what the mu'mineen, it's the wadifa of the mu'mineen, it's the divine duty of the mu'mineen to address such a ashrar going to be and turning into mufsid fil ard. And I won't delve deeper into it. Recite the salawat, please. Allah. See, another misconception is that when it comes to Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, we stay confined to just, you know, brother, just keep a beard. Sister, please wear a hijab. Our Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, its scope is very limited in our heads, in our minds. When you turn towards Islam, Islam's scope of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is way wider than this. And as a matter of fact, these issues that we see, you know, very small little issues, they are trivial when you compare it to the real Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. He rose up against the tyrant. He could have been just, you know, staying in Medina, telling people to, you know, pray, fast, you know, recite Quran every day, right? Don't do this, don't do that, you know, small little. Not to mention that wajibat are wajibat and muharramat are muharramat and no haram is a small haram. But when compared to the Yazid of the time ruling over the Muslim Ummah, everything else becomes trivial in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Please recite a salawat. So this misconception that, you know, our Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, bidding the good, enjoining the good, and forbidding the evil, it is limited to just these personal practices? No. It falls within the scope of Amr and Nahi. But really, honestly, if you look at the seerah of A'imma, the established principle of Islam, that is bidding the good and forbidding the evil, was applied by them against the taghut of their time. Today, we somehow feel that we are performing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar by advising our mu'mineen brothers and sisters, but we are silent against the taghut of the time. And like I said before, the waliul faqih, the wali has taken a position. Nobody has the right to challenge him. If he says that America is the taghut, if he says that Israel is the taghut, if he says that, you know, Saudis who are subservient, the Saudi regime, the Ahl-e Saud, who are subservient to America and Israel, they are the taghut. If he says that UK is the taghut, who are we to redefine it? And where is our iqdam? What are we doing against the taghut of the time? We expect every single person who existed in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that, oh, they should have rose up with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They should have accompanied Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They should have gone to Karbala with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then this wouldn't have happened, right? This is what our expectation is. And those who went, we say they are alayhi salam. Correct? What about us? What are we doing to the deputy of the Imam of the time? Where is our response? Where is our labaik? Brothers and sisters, these are the serious matters that we need to think about and rectify our course of action. And I'll get to, you know, a point that is connected to this, but later on in the speech, please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. You know, for many, what happened in Karbala is just an incident that we commemorate every year. It's nothing more than an incident, and that's a widespread. Maybe one can say that, you know, to an extent, unfortunately, it's the mainstream concept and idea. Most of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, they see what happened in Karbala to be an incident, and nothing more. The question we would like to raise, and inshallah hopefully try to answer it with the help of Allah, is whether it's a movement or it's just an incident, you know, and something we have to decide because it has repercussions on our lives. It directly impacts our life. This question that we're raising, whether it is a movement or just an incident, a historic incident, we have to decide for ourselves, for our families. And, you know, the first point I would like to make there is, if the Ummah of Prophet, it ceased to exist in 61 after Hijrah, then it was just a historic event. Why? Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that I am doing the uprising to reform the Ummah of Prophet. Now the question is, did the Ummah cease to exist back in 61 after Hijrah, after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or it still exists? It still exists. This means that there is a need for Islah in all times. And when, as soon as you say in all times, it makes it a movement. It's not just an incident anymore. Second point, if the deviation and corruption stopped back in 61 after Hijrah. So let's say Imam Hussein alayhi salam did the uprising. He went to Karbala, he gave all those sacrifices, and after that, corruption was completely uprooted. The system of wilaya got implemented and established. The Imam-e-Masum, the infallible Imams, they took over. And there's no more corruption on the face of the planet Earth like we are going to see after the reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. We are going to witness that, right? Except for that lady that is going to martyr her. You know, kullan, you can say that corruption is going to be eradicated by the Imam, right? Let's say if it had taken place in 61 after Hijrah, we had a case, we would say, oh, it was an incident that took place, what, 1400 years ago or something? The problem was solved, chapter close. We just remember that incident. Brothers and sisters, the deviation in Muslim Ummah, as a matter of fact, increased. In return, our responsibility increases. If we truly are Husseinis, if we want to, and if we wish to walk on the footsteps of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, then we know that this is a movement against all deviations, against all corruptions. So this is the second point that you need to hang on to. Number three is, if Amr bil Ma'roof wa Nahi anil Munkar is not part of our deen after 61 after Hijrah, then we can say it was just an incident. But we still teach our kids that enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is part of our deen, part of Islam. Where is it that we are doing it then? Are we just memorizing it in the list of furu'ud deen? We have to decide for ourselves. If the taghut of the time is the real target of the Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, then we need to introspect and evaluate whether I am doing Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar or not. This is something we all should ask ourselves. You know, are we commemorating a historic incident, or do we really feel being part of this Husseini movement? Ask yourself, each single one of you, including myself, please recite aloud salawat. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but inshallah, I'm hoping that we are on the same page. But as we see it, as this humble student of Hosea sees it, is that it is a movement. It is not just an incident that completely changes the attitude then. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a continuous struggle to create a positive change in the human society. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to reform the entire human society, not limited to just myself and my family. It's beyond that. Of course, you start with yourself and your family. But keep your eye on the bigger hadaf. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to revolutionize the society. Do we see the message of revolution being spread in the society by us? We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are expected to be on the forefront. Are we doing it? Again, a question for ourselves. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is an uprising against oppression, injustice, and tyranny. If I am part of that movement, then I have to be on the forefront of this mahaz. There's no other option. It's too dangerous? Yes. Imam Hussein alayhi salam embraced dangers. Aima alayhi salam, all of them embraced dangers. And their ashab, their loyal companions, they embraced dangers. We don't like it. We need to change our madhab. Na'udhu billah min zalik. Right? If we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to be prepared for hardships. We have to be prepared for trials. We have to be prepared for challenges. If we speak up against the taghut of the time, yes, he's going to come and bother us, to say the least. You don't like it? You don't want to be part of the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? It's a personal choice. But if you want to be part of that movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, if I want to be part of that movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I have to be ready to embrace challenges, trials, tribulations. It's not supposed to be easy, brothers and sisters. Just coming to the majalis and, you know, hoping for the great status in Jannah, you know, along with, you know, Sulaimanis and Hujajis and Dr. Muhammad Naqvis and Muzaffar Kirmanis. And, you know, this is not going to happen, brothers and sisters. We have to be serious in our approach. If we want to be part of that movement, we need to know what that movement is. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to establish the domination of monotheism in all aspects of our individual lives and the collective life of the human society. Now, this is all based on Quran. I don't have time to delve into it because I want to cover some other points with you. This is a responsibility on our shoulders, brothers and sisters. What are we doing about it? Are we even planning for it? It's okay, you know, I'm myself, you know, I'm not doing anything. But, you know, the question is, am I even trying? Am I even looking in this direction? Am I even thinking about it? You start somewhere, and it's okay. People like me start late in their lives. But the young people, you still have the chance to get a head start. Start thinking about these topics. Start moving in this direction. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to unite the world of Islam against the world of kufr and nifaq. This is what the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is. And then give it ghalaba li yuzhirahu ala deena kullih walau karihal mushrikun. Who's going to do it? It's our responsibility, brothers and sisters. These generations are supposed to do it. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the words of Imam Khamenei, is a kickstart for building the new Islamic civilization. Is it even the topic of our mubasas? We, the Hoza students, so proud of our mubasas. Is it even the topic? What are the ingredients of that Islamic civilization? Are we discussing that? Are we reading upon, like pondering upon the books and reading the books and literature? What would it take for us to build that new Islamic civilization, the Tamadun-e-Naveen-e-Islami? We need to check our direction. And with this, we move into the last section of our discussion today, and that is, what are the demands of this movement, this Husseini movement, from us in 21st century? Please recite a salawat. Brothers and sisters, yet again, it is that two-point agenda that we started with. I told you to remember that verse in your head, right? We seek direction from Quran. In 21st century, once again, Quran expects us to have that two-point agenda. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. These are the two-point agenda. Now, we have to give it the context in today's time. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ in today's time and age, and this is where I need your attention, that is wilayat madari, revolving around the wali. That's the atam mistaq of amr bil ma'roof. And when you come to nahi anil munkar, it is istakbar satizi. Istakbar satizi. This is the definition in 21st century, although it has been like this in all times. I'm saying 21st century because we're trying to address a question. تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Right? This is something that is expected from us. You know, being wilaya-centric, that's Amr bil Ma'roof. Being anti-arrogance, anti-istakbar, anti-jibhaye taghut. This is what Nahi al Munkar is. This is where it all sums up. This is what it all converges to. Brothers and sisters, in all times, throughout the history, you go look at the prophets of Allah, you look at the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or afterwards, anybody who stood up against the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, or their deputies, or their naibin, they were humiliated by Allah. This is the principle, this is one of the sunan-e ilahi. Yes, Allah does give respite. So maybe this person turns back, stops doing tughyan, does istighfar. This is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives that grace period. But somebody who is adamant and who is hell-bent on going against the wali of the time, it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He humiliates him. Wilayat madari revolving around and circumventing around and circumambulating around Kaaba today is circumambulating around the wali of the time, like it has been in all times. This is expected. Strengthening the system of wilaya. You know, I'm just covering this two-point agenda and then I'm done. I'm talking about the first one. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. Strengthening the system of wilaya. However you can do it. There's no one set way of doing that. But you need to know, as the follower of wilaya, that I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm delivering a speech, I'm doing anything else, I'm studying at the Hawza, I'm doing it to strengthen the wilaya. If the system of wilayatul faqih, it fails today, I can say with certainty that the zuhur of Imam Zaman alayhi salam is going to be prolonged and delayed. This is what we're dealing with. Yes, in a way we're lucky that we're born in this time of Imam Khomeini and Imam Khamenei, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us victories after victories after victories. He's showing us His signs. We don't have any room to say Mata Nasrullah. He's not even giving us the opportunity. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we're lucky to be born in this time. But at the same time, it has become a very huge challenge. Maybe back in the day, if you could just do your wajibat and, you know, stay away from muharramat, maybe that was enough back in the day, given the situation. The imams, you know, they were in jails, they were in dungeons, imams were being tortured, you know, and they had told their companions, you know, stay away from me. They couldn't even meet their companions. If you look at the history, if you do the study of history, they couldn't even meet. Some of the companions came to the door of Imam, infallible Imam, Imam Masum. And the door gets opened, and then it is said that we don't know who you are asking for and looking for, and the door is closed. This is how, because there were the Taghuti government at that time was, you know, so severe against the imams. Those are different times. Today, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, 40 plus years of the successful revolution in the name of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Imam Khomeini says what? Ma harche darim az Muharram o Safar darim. Everything we have is from Muharram and Safar. This is the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You look at the footages from Jibhe back in the day, those 8 years war, Iran, Iraq, imposed war. You look at the footage. People are reciting Dua Kumail, these soldiers. They're reciting Ziyarat Ashura. They're going to the battlefront saying, Labbaika ya Zahra. This is the revolution of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to be serious about it. This is just a very small test before the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Right? If we pass in this test, inshallah we will. Inshallah the ummah will pass this test. And inshallah we be part of that passing crowd. If we pass this test, we can expect that we are a step forward, step closer to being the companion and the follower of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. But let's say if we fail at an individual level or at a community level, then there is no chance that we stand. Unless, of course, that maghfirah and forgiveness, that door is always open, we know that. But if you look at the zawahir, there will be no chance. If we start screaming as soon as the prices go up in the Islamic Republic of Iran, we want to live in the system of wilaya, but we can't deal with, you know, inflation, man. It's too much. And then we start doubting the system itself. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that if I cut the nose of my Shia with my sword without any reason, he still won't oppose me. Where are we headed? Oh, our bank accounts, you know, we can't do a transfer, bank account transfer, you know, from card to card or something. You know, we start doubting the system. We've become so self-centric. And it's not just us. Even in that time, if you go back in history, in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what was the issue of people? People loved Imam Hussein alayhi salam because Imam Hussein alayhi salam is lovable. He is the collection of fadail. Everybody's going to love Ali alayhi salam. Everybody's going to love Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Everybody's going to love Hussein alayhi salam. Because they're nothing but beauty. They're nothing but a package of fazail, of virtues, best akhlaq, best everything. Everybody's going to love them. Then why did they not accompany him and them? It is because of these hardships. They wanted the paycheck that they would potentially get from Muawiyah. They wanted that same paycheck from Ali alayhi salam. That's what their demand was. And Ali alayhi salam, he calls people towards Nukhayla. He says that, come to Nukhayla. I'm doing an uprising against the enemy of Allah, Muawiyah at that time. He says, I'm doing an uprising against him. You be with me. You do the uprising with me. So he calls his followers, the people, to Nukhayla. And you know what the demand of Imam Ali alayhi salam was? He said, shave off your head, take off all your hair, and bring your own sword, bring your own horse, bring your own spear. I don't have anything to give to you. All I have is the affirmation and the confirmation that I am doing the uprising on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the taghut of the time. Now, brothers and sisters, if today the Islamic Republic of Iran, if today Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, if today the followers of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, they're doing an uprising against the taghut of the time, do we expect them to pay us anything? As soon as we start talking about strengthening the system, you know, there's always those brothers, oh, we will be labeled as the agent of Iran. We will be labeled by the agencies of the world to be the agent of Iran. Nobody is the agent of any country. We don't believe in that. We are the agents of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We are the followers and agents of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We are the followers and agents of Imam Sahib al-Zaman waiting for his reappearance. We are the followers and agents of the deputy of Imam Zaman, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and we are proud to be that. We're not living that under any tyranny of any queen. This is not who we are. We're not proud. And if somebody is proud to be living under the tyrannical regimes of the world, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that either do their islah or resurrect them with their masters. We are proud to be living in the system of wilayah. We are proud to be associated. We are proud to be the followers of Imam Khamenei. Somebody wants to label us anything, we don't care. We don't mind. You know, in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the government apparatus of that time, the army of Yazid, they would mark all of the followers of Ahlul Bayt and the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be the agents of Hussein ibn Ali, the rebel who has, you know, rose up against the government of the time. And hence people were like, we don't want to be labeled. They just went on to do their own business. Left the hujjat of Allah alone. So brothers and sisters, Amr bil Maruf in today's time is this. Then when we talk about Nahi anil Munkar, Istakbar Satizi, and my last point before I go into Masaib, I'm sorry I've taken a lot of your time. The system of arrogance, just like we talk about the system of wilaya, Wilayatul Faqih is a system. Just like that, we have a system of istikbar, the system of taghut. We have to understand this conglomeration. We have to produce this depth in ourselves to realize the conspiracy that's going on against us, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, and otherwise the justice seekers and the righteous people of the world. There's a conspiracy. We have to realize and understand that conglomeration, that system. America, Israel, UK, Germany, France, Ali Saud, Ali Khalifa, the Buhairis, so on and so forth. They together make the system of Taghut today. They together make up the system of Taghut. Now the question is, the system of Wilaya, the system of Mu'mineen, where is it? Don't you expect that in opposition to the system of Taghut, there has to be a system of Wilaya? Where is it? Alhamdulillah, it exists. Are we part of it? I'm too busy with my studies. It's too dangerous. I have to travel. I have a family. My job, my green card, my immigration. Brothers and sisters, serious matters. Honestly, if you take away this message today from this majlis, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is waiting for your labbaik to the Hal min Nasirin Yansurna that he raised. If you take this message with you and just think about it tonight, no need to discuss, no need to go to any scholar, just think about it tonight. Put your hand on your heart. You will have the answers. You will know what you need to do. Don't shy away from it while we have the opportunity. Please recite a salawat. Yes, you're tired, but a louder salawat would be better. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to Istakbar Satizi, which we said nahi is a misdaq of Nahi Anil Munkar in today's time, look at what America is doing. Look at who is the head of the snake. This whole system that we said, the system of Taghut that exists today, the head of the snake is the United States of America. Without a doubt. And it's not me saying it. Like I said, you know, our priorities need to come from the Wali. And none other than Wali. Not from our grandfather, not from our father, not from our teacher. It needs to come from the Wali. If the guidelines of our teacher resonates with the teachings and guidelines and the priority list of the Wali, we should listen to our teacher. If not, be skeptical. Be skeptical. If they have their own priority list, which does not coincide. Let me give you an example so there's no confusion. Please recite a salawat. If the wali of the time is saying that the most important issue of the Islamic Ummah and of the Islamic world is the issue of Palestine, and my teacher is saying, or my grandfather, or my father, or my friend, somebody I look up to, my mentor, my murabbi, whatever you want to call it, they're saying that the most important issue of the Muslim Ummah is Kashmir, let's say. Who am I supposed to listen to? Who should I follow? I should at least be skeptical. I'm using my words very carefully. Do your research then. Question what your teacher is saying and why is he saying it. Research. Get into it. Right? So our priority list. Who recognizes and qualifies and labels the taghut of the time? It's the job of the wali of the time. If the wali is saying America is the snake of the head, tamam shuddige. You want to go research, research, man, because you don't have anything else to do. Trust the judgment of the wali and the naib of wali.
Madman Africa! Madman Africa! Madman Africa! Madman Africa! Madman Africa!
So if America is the head of the snake, UK is the neck of the snake. You know, with all the countless wars, occupations, coup d'etat, staging fake revolutions, military and non-military invasions and occupations and interventions, meddling into the affairs of the other countries. You know, after all of this, the least that we can do is to recognize the culprit, the oppressor, the Yazid, the Fir'aun, the Nimrud of the time. That's the least. Recognize it. And unfortunately, today, when a slogan like Death to America gets chanted, what happens? Well, some of our own pseudo-academics, some of our own, you know, infatuated with the West, blinded by the Zahir of the West, blinded by their apparent and appearances, they start opposing a divine slogan like Death to America. These pseudo-academics. If you notice, multiple times, not just once, multiple times, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei has said that the rational and logical slogan of Death to America has strong logical backing. Out of around 250 years of the history of the United States of America and the rise of liberal democracy, look at the chaos it has spread throughout the world. The only country that has nuked another country. The only country that has shot down the passenger plane of another country without apologizing till date. The only country that, based on false information, occupied another country, a complete whole country, and not even apologized till date. They occupied them for 20 years. Talking about United States of America occupying Iraq. So brothers and sisters, you know, these pseudo-scholars, you know, they oppose this slogan. Why? The question is why? Well, you know, before talking too much about it, if you see and if you noticed, these same people who are so opposed to this rational and logical and, as I said, divine slogan of Death to America, when they look at the American forces, the British forces, the NATO forces occupying the Muslim lands, killing the innocent Muslims, looting their wealth, occupying their countries, taking their oil, raping their women, massacring their children, these same pseudo-academics don't say even one word against that. Isn't that right? You know, when you see that the shrine of Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha gets attacked, when the shrine of Imam Hussain alayhi salam gets attacked, when there are the ISIS mercenaries, the Western-backed and America-backed and America-funded and America-sponsored ISIS terrorists, the biggest terrorist organization of the world, when they attack the shrines of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, these same pseudo-academics stay quiet about it. And what do they do at that time? They do sectarian talks. Now you see why they are opposed to the slogan of Death to America. Who wants them to oppose it? Who wishes them to oppose it? These are the questions. And I'll leave these questions up in the air because I am already late and I've taken too much of your time. Please recite a salawat. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Dear mourners of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, dear believers, let's take our hearts to the plains of Karbala. The story of Karbala is a sad epic. An epic that if it was limited to men, we might have been able to hold back our tears. But what makes the epic of Karbala so tragic is that there were women and children alongside Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And it is enough to break the heart into pieces when we witness the oppression that was done to mere children at hands of the enemies of Islam. But we see that there is a certain group of children that breaks our hearts even more. And that is the oppression and tragic events surrounding the children that are orphans. We see that Allah in the Holy Quran gives special attention to the orphans, the yatim. We see that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have given special attention to the orphans. And still we see what happened to the orphaned children in Karbala. What happened to these orphans after Karbala? But there is one orphan that we speak about today. Brothers and sisters, don't hold back your tears. These tears are a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These tears get us closer to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These tears get us closer to the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Let them flow. These tears are for our own salvation. Hussein and his yatims don't need our tears. We see that Allah in the Holy Quran gives special attention to the orphans, brothers and sisters. The orphan that we're going to talk to today about is a special one. Now that I have your hearts gone towards the orphans, the yatim of who we speak today is the orphan of Qasim ibn Hassan. But before I tell you the story of Qasim ibn Hassan, I show you a few more orphans. I show you the orphans of Muslim bin Aqil. hungry and thirsty, lost in the city of Kufa. I show you Muhammad and Ibrahim, orphans without their father, in a strange city with killers searching for them as they hide in the dark loft of a house. And I show you a time when the news of the martyrdom of Muslim bin Aqil reaches the caravan of Hussein. Hussein goes and places his hands upon the heads of the orphans of Muslim bin Aqil. Oh, Hussein. Soon enough, your kids are going to be orphans as well. Who's going to put their hand on their heads? I would not be surprised if the other children in Hussein's caravan looked upon the scene and cried. I would not be surprised if Abbas looked upon these kids of Muslim bin Aqil and cried. I would not be surprised if Zainab looked upon the scene and cried. I would not be surprised if Sakina looked upon the scene and cried. And I would not be surprised if Qasim ibn Hassan looked upon the scene and cried. Allah, Allah. How loving is Hussein with the orphans of Muslim ibn Aqil. How merciful is Hussein with the orphans of Muslim ibn Aqil. How kind is Hussein with the orphans of Muslim ibn Aqil. May all orphans be treated as Hussein treated these orphans. But our orphan today, Dear mourners of Abdullah, our orphan that we're discussing today is Qasim ibn Hassan, the young son of Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba, the beautiful son of Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba in Umm Farwa. This young boy who was probably around 13 years of age or less, so young, so beautiful, so full of life, yet the sadness of an orphan deep inside his big heart. I believe that in the tender youth, Qasim must have witnessed the martyrdom of his father Imam Hassan, and when his father was martyred in his tender youth, Qasim must have witnessed the weeping and crying of his mother Umm Farwa. And when Qasim's father was martyred in his tender youth, Qasim must have witnessed that scene. When his father was martyred, Qasim must have witnessed the sadness and loneliness in the faces of Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas. When Hassan ibn Ali was martyred, Qasim would have been heartbroken. And you know, after the martyrdom of Imam Hassan, Hazrat Qasim was very attached to both his uncles, Hussein and Abbas. For who else did the little orphan, this young yatim, bereft of love of a father, have in his life other than his beloved uncles? Everywhere they went, Qasim wanted to join his uncles. He wanted to be with his uncles all the time. For Qasim, for a small orphan, for a little yatim, his fathers were truly Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas. On the other hand, dear mourners, Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas never let Qasim feel that he had no father. Qasim, we are your fathers. Qasim, we will protect you. Qasim, we shall love you for as long as you can. Dear brothers and sisters, perhaps you don't know what it feels like to be an orphan, to be young and small in a great big world and not have a mother or a father. Being an orphan is very difficult. The love of a mother can never be replaced, and the love of a father can never be replaced. But I'm sure that after the martyrdom of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam did his very best to love Qasim. Imam Hussein loved Qasim like his own children, or perhaps even more, for Qasim was the living memory of his brother Hassan. I'm sure when Hussein missed Hassan, he would look lovingly at the face of Qasim. In this young boy, Imam Hussein would see his dear brother. I now take you to the lands of Karbala, where at one point, Qasim ibn Hassan, this yatim, asked his uncle Hussein, "Am I too included in the list of the masters? Am I included in the list of martyrs? O Qasim, what kind of question is this that you ask of Hussein?" Hearing Qasim's question, Imam Hussein was deeply moved and said, O my dear son, how do you consider death to be? And Qasim bravely replies, "Ahla min al-asal, it is sweeter to me than honey." Death on the path of Hussein, death for the movement of Hussein, is sweeter than honey. Allah, Allah, the basirat of Qasim, the wisdom of Qasim, the purity of Qasim. Imam Hussein alayhi salam then said, "Verily by Allah, may your uncle be your ransom. You are one of them who shall be martyred along with me after having fallen prey to a severity. And my infant son Ali Asghar shall be martyred as well." And Qasim replies in shock, O uncle, is it that the enemy will enter our tents? Will they enter the khayma? Will they enter the tent? It is reported that both Qasim and Hussein wept and wept and wept until both went unconscious in each other's arms. Oh Hassan al-Mujtaba, are you witnessing the events unfold in Karbala? The day of Ashura arrives. It is reported to be the hottest day of the year. I'm sure that Imam Hussein did not give permission to Qasim. And how can Hussein give Qasim the permission to go to the battlefield? Qasim, you are the amana of my brother Hassan. You are the trust of my brother Hassan. Qasim, you are the memory of my brother Hassan. Qasim, when I see your face, I see my brother Hassan. Qasim, how can I let you go to the battlefield? But Qasim insisted, and perhaps he even said, O uncle, do you not give me permission? Because I'm a yatim. Qasim then asks his mother, Umm Farwa, for help. Oh mother, Uncle Hussein does not want to give me permission. Oh father Hassan, if you were here, you would have sent me to the battlefield yourself. But alas, I am a yatim, I'm an orphan, and you are not here to make me ready for the battle. Finally, a letter from Imam Hassan alayhi salam comes forth, requesting Hussein alayhi salam to accept Qasim on behalf of Imam Hassan. Perhaps it said, Hussein, I am no longer present, otherwise I would have fought alongside you as we once did in our youth. Hussein, take my son Qasim in exchange, for he's my representative. Hussein, give my Qasim on the path of Allah. No longer can Hussein stop this young boy from fulfilling his dream. His dream to sacrifice himself in the defense of his Imam. Imam Hussein took Qasim to Lady Zainab. For Imam Hussein was also the brother of Zainab. Imam Hussein said, Zainab, bring me Hassan's Abba and his turban.
So Hussein dressed Qasim with Imam Hassan's abba and Imam Hassan's turban and says, Zainab, look at Qasim. Does he look handsome? Does he look beautiful? Does he look like the shining moon? Does he look like our brother Hassan? Tears flowed from Hussein's eyes, and tears flowed from Zainab's eyes as they remembered their brother, a brother who was also left alone and martyred, a brother whose coffin was showered with arrows, a brother whose liver came forth due to poison. Hussein then dressed Qasim with the battlefield armor and gave him weapons, but Qasim was so young that his sword, touched the ground as he walked. He could not mount his horse on his own. So his uncle Abbas helped him mount the horse. With what a broken heart must have the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, one last farewell to the orphan of Hassan who goes towards the battlefield. O Qasim, we should have placed our hands upon your yatim head, but alas, we are sending you towards the enemy's ranks to fight for the sake of Allah. I ask you, dear friends, battle armaments and battle gear are made for fully grown men. What will this young boy wear? What armor will he have? What sword can he carry? What spear can he wield? We see that in the heat of the battle, Qasim lowers himself to fix the sandal on his feet. It is as if Qasim is telling the world, the great fighters of the enemy have less value than even the sandal on this foot. Oh Qasim, how cruel was the enemy that as you lowered yourself to fix your sandal, the enemy started to strike you with heavy blows. And I ask you, how can the soft body of a small orphan handle the strikes of swords of fully grown men? Qasim falls upon the ground. He calls his uncle. Oh, Uncle Hussein, come to the aid of this yatim. Come to the aid of this orphan. I am saying my farewell to you, O my uncle. O my father Hussein. It is narrated that Hazrat Abbas and Imam Hussein got on their horses and charged towards the battlefield in the aid of Hazrat Qasim in his last moments. The enemy ranks fled in fear, left and right as they saw Hussein and Abbas charge towards them. Amongst this chaos, the body of Qasim remained upon the ground, trampled by the heavy hooves of horses. Hussein placed his abba upon the hot sands of Karbala and placed the broken body of Qasim upon it and takes it back to the camp. Oh, Mefarma, Oh Mekultum, Oh Zainab, Oh Abbas, Oh Hussein, take one last loving look at your Qasim, the young orphan boy, the yatim of Hassan, with tears in your eyes, with grief in your heart, with his holy blood upon the desert of Karbala. Oh Hussein. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. Soon will the wrongdoers know the end that they shall reach. Ya Allah, guide us to be prepared for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam Qaim, who will fill this earth with justice and equity. Ya Allah, enable us to relieve the oppressed from the oppression of the oppressors. Ya Allah, give long life to the sincere scholars, our teachers, fuqaha, and especially to the leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Ya Allah, protect the system of Wilayatul Faqih. Ya Allah, strengthen the Islamic Republic. Ya Allah, protect the defenders of Islam and the defenders of the shrines. Ya Allah, free the believers from the unjust imprisonment of the kuffar and munafiqeen. Ya Allah, give shifa to the sick. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Maatame Hussein.